Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, and that would be the book of Ruth, chapter 3. Ruth, chapter 3, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now, is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall be, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followedst not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning." And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, "Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor." Also he said, "Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So, as we turn back to chapter 1 for a moment, there is a statement in verse 9 that Naomi speaks to her 2 daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Notice what she says. "The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. What is she saying to them? She's saying, "You're both young women. You can go back to your mother's house, to the land of your families, and you can find other husbands. And in finding those other husbands, you will find rest in their house." Notice what she says here in chapter 3, verse 1. "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?'" Notice that at the end of chapter 1, the state of mind that Naomi was in, and part of the theme of the book of Ruth, is the change of heart of Naomi throughout. We see her as, "Call me not pleasant, but call me bitter." Go find rest wherever you can find it, just not here, is what she tells them. Now in chapter 3 and verse 1 to Ruth, she says, let me find some rest for you. You see the change in her heart? She has gone from being one who is embittered from a bitter look at the providence that God has sent her, now to one who is looking at the Lord's blessing, looking at the Lord's possibilities, looking at the hope that the Lord has brought to her. May I say that Naomi's providence had not much changed. Although she had come back, and although she had been received back into Israel, notice that it was after her coming back into Israel that she says, my name is not pleasant, my name is Mara, bitter. It's not really, at this point in the narrative, a huge amount of providence that's changed toward Naomi. It's that Naomi has changed toward her providence. My dear brothers and sisters, let us remember that. That much of what we think is the Lord's disfavor toward us might simply be our own pinched understanding of that providence that He's brought. Our own bitter or embittered understanding of that providence. So, Naomi's heart has changed. She's now looking hopeful. And so she says to Ruth, let me find some rest for you. In other words, this guy Boaz, I think he's the one. So here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Now do exactly as I tell you. And so she gives her the procedure that will let Boaz know that Ruth is available. Now, Boaz here evinces himself to be not a young man, in that he contrasts himself with young men. Okay, it's very obvious here that Boaz is an older man, Ruth, a fairly young woman at this point. And so what we have here is Ruth has an opportunity as a young woman and as a Moabitess and is coming back in as daughter-in-law, not in a particular binding relationship to Naomi. She could have gone anywhere to be a wife. She could have chosen one of the young men, one of the vigorous ones. She could have chosen one of the men that labored in Boaz's field. She could have chosen any number of men. Boaz makes that clear a little bit later on in the chapter. Naomi gives her the instructions to go and dispose herself at the feet of Boaz. Notice in the heart of Ruth that there is no, he's old. Are you sure? I mean, isn't there a young man you'd like me to? None of that, right? This is the way. This is the way of blessing. She submits herself under the hand of her mother-in-law, and this is truly the way of blessing. And when we get, and by the time we get to the end of the book, who can say that Ruth's is not a blessed existence? Right? All right, so the other thing that is that we must make sure to understand here is that all of the actions that are described here in this chapter are upright actions. There's no shenanigans going on in the field here. These are all upright things, and they're fraught with meaning to the ancient Near East. So Ruth goes to the threshing floor, finds the place where Boaz has laid down after the threshing, and uncovers his feet, lays down at his feet, uncovers his feet, and throws the skirt that he used, the covering, over his feet, throws it over herself as well. And then she just waits. Quiet as a mouse. Notice the patience on the part of Ruth. She didn't wake him. She didn't propose anything to him. She waited until she was asked the question. And so at midnight it says Boaz was startled because there was a woman at his feet. What's that? What are you doing here? That's actually not his first question. His first question is, who are you? And she says, well, I'm Ruth. Spread your skirt over me, for you are a near kinsman. Ruth is saying this, although as a young woman and not particularly tied to Naomi, I might be liable to choose any man to go after for a suitor, to marry, to bear children, to find my rest. But you are a near kinsman to my mother-in-law, and I have committed to her that where she goes, I will go, that her people will be my people, that her God will be my God, and where she dies, I will die. And so in care to her, it is you as the near kinsman that I have chosen. Spread your skirt over me. You are a near kinsman to us. That's an amazingly humble and, I can use an older word, servile thing to do. She is maintaining her humility and service to her mother-in-law, her submission to her, and at the same time seeking to be married and to be brought formally into Israel. And so Boaz, well, he's got a couple of things to say. First of all, he says, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. Okay, so obviously Boaz is saying here, I'm no spring chicken. Okay, that's the first thing, right? But beyond that, he's saying, you might have had a better choice than me, but instead what you've done is you've showed greater kindness, the ellipsis there is, to your mother-in-law than even at the beginning by gleaning for her. Not only is the gleaning for her a kindness to her, but now what you're doing is you're giving up the inheritance of your dead husband to her and to her household, maintaining the household of Elimelech rather than just going your own way as a Moabitess. And you've come to me to do it because I am of near kin. And so the kindness here that she shows to her mother-in-law, well, can we say it this way? It has caught Boaz's eye. May I say that of all of the fair compliments that Ruth has received from Boaz, none of them have been how pretty she is. None of them have been about her form or her eyes. Always about her virtue and her kindness. That, my dear friends, is what true beauty is. And that is what attracts the man of uprightness. Keep that. Keep that in memory. So, and now, my daughter, fear not, for I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for of all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Now notice the honor of Boaz. There's someone standing in line before me. And so we must allow him rights of refusal. But let me tell you this. By a few hours of the morning, by the time the morning is expired tomorrow, you will know one way or the other whether it will be him or me. Because if it's not him, it will certainly be me. So there is a commitment that is made. If he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. In other words, he did not want to send her back in the middle of the night. So then, she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. Now, this is an important aspect of the timing of it here. What does it mean that she rose up before one could know another, but it was morning? It means that it was still dark enough to where you couldn't see one and tell them apart from one another. In other words, her modesty is protected. But it was close enough to daylight to where by the time she left the threshing floor, she would have enough light to get home and wouldn't be sent home in the dark. You see how minute the timing is there. And the great care of Boaz over her, telling her to stay until the morning and then sending her home while protecting her modesty, because what might have been said about her had she been found to spend the night in the threshing floor? Well, you can imagine what might have been said. And so he protects her modesty, and he sends her out at such a time where she could get home without it being completely dark. And so there's a great care that's exercised there on the part of Boaz. All right, so then he says, bring the veil. Of course, the veil in that day was a sign of her being, shall we say, unmarried, right? And so he filled the veil with barley, and so as to show a kindness also to Naomi, and to show, I think, implied in that gift, an approval of the procedure that they have undergone here. Right? And so then, notice what Naomi says. She says, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." Isn't that true? It most certainly is. We don't let important things rest until the middle of the day, do we? We don't get up in the morning and say, okay, this is really important, I think I'll wait until a few hours after breakfast. No, not like that. And so Boaz is settling his house. And so this is something that he considers to be very important. And he will not be in rest until he takes care of it. He is known to be a man of diligence. All right, thus ends the reading.